This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. Again, we're glad you've tuned us in. And if you would like to contact me, you can do so through my website or by regular mail. And I'll give you those addresses at the close of the program. Now, the website does have some additional information on it that you might find helpful. You can read my weekly meditation there, and you can re-listen to this program there. So if you want that address, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write that or my mailing address down. I will give you an answer if you write to me. I will correspond with you. Now, we are going back to the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, and we're looking at the story of creation, and I always look at Genesis as the book of beginnings, as Exodus as the book of salvation. Leviticus is the Old Testament book of worship. I know some are going to say the Psalms are the book of worship, and I understand why you would say that. But from the standpoint of the congregation, from the standpoint of their travels through the wilderness, the way in which they were to worship was found in Leviticus. The priesthood was found there. The tabernacle and the way it was to operate was found there. But yes, the songs that were associated with that worship would be found in the Psalms. The songs would be found in the Psalms. When we look at Numbers, we're looking at a people that are traveling through the wilderness, and it is representative of the day that we live in if we are believers and are part of what God calls the church, because we're just passing through. We're strangers in an alien land. We are, heaven is our home. This earth is not our home. This is not where we are expecting to abide eternally. And so we are pilgrims and strangers passing through, and Deuteronomy is a book that repeats really many of the principles that Moses has taught them before, and is a reminder of what God has done for them just before they go into the promised land. And we all need to be reminded. Peter is, when he writes his epistles, tells his those he's writing to that he wants them to call things to remembrance. And so we are going to spend a little time on some of these Old Testament books. I'm not going to go through it chapter by chapter. I personally don't believe that anyone can fully understand every verse and every dot and tittle that is found in the Old Testament, but we certainly can understand the patterns. We can understand the principles, and that's what I want to look at as we go through some of these Old Testament stories. Genesis, the book of beginnings. Exodus, the book of salvation. Leviticus, the book of worship. Numbers is the book of a traveling people. Deuteronomy is calling to remembrance. Now, last time we started in with Genesis chapter 1, and we were looking at creation, and I'm always hesitant to speak on Genesis chapters 1 and 2. And the reason I'm hesitant to speak on them is because there is, amongst true, well-meaning believers, a lot of controversy associated with that section. And I personally think that we need to pull the principles from that section. We need to believe that what God said, he meant. This is part of the inspired word of God. And so when it says that God created the heavens and the earth, we know that God created the heavens and the earth. And as I said before, it doesn't really take a real sharp mind to realize that if our cars were made by somebody, if our houses were made by somebody, then the earth had to be made by somebody, and we ourselves had to be made by somebody. That's only logical. And the people that would like to deny that, in my mind, are very, very illogical in their thinking. Now, when we say that God created the heavens and the earth, where we run into trouble is how literal should we take this story? And there are many stories in the Bible that are not literal. And I want to tell you this morning, and I'm going to maybe offend some of you that are listening to me, but I want to tell you this morning that it is my position that it is not wise to tell somebody that if they do not accept a literal 6 days of creation that happened 6,000 years ago, and that it all started 6,000 years ago, that they are not believing the Bible, and that they are not believing and are not able to believe the New Testament truth, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you say, Preacher, have you heard people say that? And yes, I have heard people say that. And I think that's a very unwise thing to say, and I'm going to show you why that's unwise. I'm not going to go down through this passage in total, but I want you to notice that in the Old Testament, there's a lot of things that are not literal. And if we take the approach that this has to be literally 6 days, and frankly, I want to note right here that it may be a literal 6 days. But if we take the approach that it has to be a literal 6 days, then we have problems with other places in Scripture where there's prophecies and teaching given that are not literal. For example, if I take that approach, it would require me to question the Lord when he said that Elijah, as prophesied in Malachi, was fulfilled in John the Baptist. For example, Matthew 11, verse 13 and 14, we read, "For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John." Now, the Lord was saying this. All the prophets and the law prophesied until John. That's John the Baptist. And if you're willing to receive it, he is Elijah who was to come. Now, Malachi 4, the very end of the Old Testament, verses 5 and 6, says this, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." Now, obviously, the Lord has told us that that prophecy about Elijah has been fulfilled in John the Baptist, and so it was symbolic. Now, I will tell you that it may have, this prophecy in Malachi may have another future fulfillment, but nevertheless, the Lord tells us that it was fulfilled in John the Baptist. You cannot look at that literally being Elijah and accept the Lord's teaching about what it meant. Now, when we come to the time element in the Bible, particularly when we are talking about whether the 6 days are literal or not, again, we have some problems. Because if we're going to be too literal about that, we would have to understand that what the Lord said in Luke chapter 4 when he began his earthly ministry was wrong. He said that he would preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He said he's come to deliver the captives and the prisoners and all of that. If you read from Isaiah 61, which he was reading from that morning, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." The Lord closed the book that he was reading right there. No, I'm sorry. I closed it too soon. He was going to open the prison to those who are bound to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and he closed the book. Now, that's where he closed the book, but that's verse 2 of Isaiah 61, and it's in the middle of verse 2. The rest of the verse says, "And the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." The day of vengeance of our God has not come yet. There's been 2,000 years since the Lord closed the book on the acceptable year of the Lord, and when he will open the book in Revelation chapter 6 on the day of vengeance of our God. And so often when we are reading the Bible, we read it from the standpoint of our culture and the way we would write a novel, and we think that we understand the time element in many of these prophecies and in many of these teachings, and we don't. And I have found out over the years that most of our arguments about what we believe about the Bible have to do with the time element in verses and sometimes in chapters, and sometimes the time element with regard to narrative. And the people who wrote 2,000 years ago, and in many cases 3,500 years ago, did not write in the chronological way that we're used to. They wrote in a topical way. And so when we look at these days of creation, each one of them is a story that we need to know. And God did something. And at the end of doing it, he says, and the evening and the morning were the first day, the second day, and so forth. And it would appear from our culture that that had to be six literal 24-hour days. And I want to, again, emphasize that it may have been, but we can't prove that. Because in the Old Testament, what God is really trying to do is lay principles before us. And so I've taken the position, and many people have taken the position, that when he says he created the heavens and the earth, he never creates junk, so that was created good. And then when it says that darkness was upon the face of the deep, we're going to something else, that there must have been a cataclysmic event that happened that caused the darkness to be upon the face of the deep. And when we look at the 6 days of creation, we're really looking at the 6 days of recreation, and we're looking at a principle that the Lord laid out with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, where he tells Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And people tell me that I spend too much time on the new birth, but we are all sinners by nature, and we're sinners by practice, and we have darkness within us, and we need the Spirit of God to move. We aren't born again unless the Spirit of God convicts us of our sin and shows us what righteousness truly is and what the judgment to come is truly going to be, unless we are convicted and we turn to Christ and receive the light that he would like to shine on our hearts through the Word of God. And we noted that the principle was that the Spirit of God moved on the face of the darkness, and God said. And that's the way God works in the New Testament. He always... it takes the Word of God and combines it with the Spirit of God, and we find that the two work together. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, but we're born of the Spirit. We find those two things work together in bringing about our new relationship with God. So what we see in Genesis 1 with regard to creation, in my mind, is a principle that we see in the New Testament when we look at the new creation. Even Peter himself said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This is an important concept. And if you don't know when you were born again, and I'm not saying that you remember the date, but if you don't remember what it was like to get an understanding of who Christ is and to get relief with regard to your sins, then this is a very important passage in the Old Testament, because it is important to understand that God makes things good, Satan makes things bad, and we need to be recreated by the Spirit of God as we trust in Christ who died for our sins. This is a very important principle that we see even here in the Old Testament. Now, next time I want to look at the sin that came into the world and the importance of our understanding sin. We'll move on to that concept and to Genesis chapter 3. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program, upon those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love, for thy salvation, and for thy means of bringing about a new creation in Christ through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We commit ourselves into your care in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.